only on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Mark Levin, weekdays 3 to 6 p.m.
We are back to John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI. All right, Charles Krauthammer has a new book out, so he's making the rounds of various talk shows, talking about his 30 years as a political journalist, columnist, analyst, et cetera, et cetera. For my money, I think he's the best one out there. I've always been a huge George Will fan, but Krauthammer even exceeds that high standard. And he started, believe it or not, as a liberal. He started as a speechwriter on the Walter Mondale for president campaign back in 84. He was on Jon Stewart's show, Daily Show, last night.
Well, I was once a liberal.
So the early writings showed hope.
And then came change.
A crucial moment in the interview was when Stewart was apparently showing some short-term memory loss about Paul Ryan and what he had tried to do on health care. And then he tried to slam congressional Republicans, but Charles Krauthammer, who remembers everything, the guy's got an encyclopedic memory, set him straight.
Here's maybe my issue with conservative politics as they stand right now. It's too easy. It doesn't have any of the responsibility of governance. If your mantra is government cannot help, then any chaos or lethargy that you sow into the government helps to prove your point. You have no incentive to be responsible in creating solutions to many of the problems that face us.
That would be true, but unfortunately, the assumption is a caricature. The conservative idea is not that government has no role. Mm-hmm. You might have argued that in the 30s when conservatives opposed the New Deal. The achievements of the New Deal, of Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, mm-hmm. the idea that you rescue the elderly and you don't allow the elderly to enter into destitution is a consensual idea that conservatives don't, at least the mainstream of conservatism.
I would just say, though, that the rhetoric is the same. If you look at the rhetoric when conservatives opposed the New Deal, opposed Social Security, opposed Medicare, it is identical. Ted Cruz quotes Ronald Reagan's Medicare speech from 1960.
Ted Cruz is not the official spokesman of American conservatism. If you want somebody who's been out there and who's offered an alternative, mm-hmm. Paul Ryan. But let me start with his assumption.
Okay.
His assumption is not that government doesn't have a role. His assumption is that the welfare state, as established with great success by liberals, has now reached a point where it no longer fits with the new demographics and with the higher technology in medicine. We will simply become insolvent unless we radically reform. I'll give you one fact. When Social Security was instituted, the age of longevity was 62. Mm-hmm. Today, life expectancy is 80. So what you have is a huge change in the demographics. And when you look to Europe, which is the social democratic state where we're headed, mm-hmm. which has all the entitlements and the government activities which a liberal would want, and it became insolvent because it never adapted to the change in demographics and the change in the technology. And it's had a rude awakening. The one advantage
if it was ever presented in that fashion, the way that you just presented it, I think the conversation we would be having in this country is very different.
And that's
but the
why
way
you
it is
have
presented,
to buy this book.
So, all right. But, you know, that's exactly what Paul Ryan did. That's what Paul Ryan was doing in 2009, 2010, 2011, when he was on the ticket with Romney, 2012. You know what the problem was with the Romney-Ryan ticket, Philip J. Vandervoort III? You know what the problem was?
I trust you're going to tell me.
The ticket should have been reversed.
Yeah, possibly.
Paul Ryan should have set the tone. Paul Ryan should have set the agenda. It should have been Paul Ryan's alternative to Obamacare, not Mitt Romney's, because Mitt Romney had a version of Obamacare in Massachusetts.
I don't know. Maybe both of my ears work, and maybe for John Stewart and President Obama, Vice President Biden, Harry Reid, Patty Murray, those key senators.
Failures.
Maybe their ears don't work properly. But when Paul Ryan unveiled that budget a couple years ago, said, we're going to have to reform some of these entitlements. It's not sustainable. We've got people that are living a decade or two decades longer than they did when this was all conceived. It can't hold itself up in this form. It has to be changed. It has to be refined. They blasted him for that.
Everything that Charles Krauthammer said just now.
And now John's
about the unsustainability of Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security is number one, correct. Number two, John Stewart said he finds so reasonable. Yeah. Every one of those things, Paul Ryan was saying over and over and over again. And what did he get in response? He got demonized by the administration.
Yeah.
And guys like John Stewart would echo the attacks from the White House.
And then he's got the temerity to say this to Charles Krauthammer.
If it was ever presented in that fashion, the way that you just presented it, I think the conversation we would be having in this country is very different.
Physician, heal thyself.
Yeah. Baloney. If it were presented that way. It has been presented that way over and over again.
And all that the liberals wanted to do in this case, they wanted to maintain the status quo on social entitlements, you know, it's just unbelievable.
I tell you, you know what the, I mean, even a suggestion that you raise the Social Security age by 2 years over time, phase in a longer Social Security age over time. Even that meets with militant opposition, even though it's obvious.
Yeah,
it's obvious that these programs eventually hit the rocks. What is hurting the reason that you need reform of these programs is not for ideological or philosophical reasons. It's because of simple math. They run out of money. The money is not there to pay for them without a radical increase in taxes. And I'll tell you what that radical increase in taxes means. It means that the younger generations will be involved in a massive transfer of wealth through their higher taxes to older generations. Why is that so bad? Why is that so unfair? Two reasons. First of all, because the younger people have more bills to pay because it's their kids who need braces now. It's their kids who need a college fund. It's their families that are struggling with the mortgage. It's their incomes that in your 20s, 30s, and into your 40s are below your earning peak potential. And wealthy people, you know, the average 60-year-old has five times as much wealth as 30-year-olds. So I'm not talking about redistributing wealth from older to young, but we can't have younger people subsidizing older people through radically higher taxes. But that's the direction we're going in if we don't reform these programs. The thing that kills liberalism is simple elementary arithmetic on every score. That's what kills liberalism. Medicare headed for the rocks. Medicaid is going to strike an iceberg as well. Social Security, we're already paying out more than we receive in Social Security payments. And I know that many of you out there say, well, Social Security is different. I pay into that. And the answer is, yes, you do. You pay into it, or you paid into it like it's a pension plan. But the government doesn't run it like a pension plan. They used all that money that workers were putting into Social Security in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, into the aughts. They used all that money to reduce the true size of the federal budget deficit. And now there is no money. There is no massive Social Security trust fund. That's the situation that we're now in. So you have to pay. It's pay as you go. The problem is there's now people going more than they're paying. Starting in 2000, it was either 2010 or 2011, we started paying out more than we receive. And it's only going to get worse. So we either restructure and reform these programs, or we watch these programs go bankrupt, or we have to radically increase taxes on young people in order to pay the bills. Now, I don't mind having Brittany pay for me down the line. In fact, I rather enjoy the idea that, you know, Brittany has to take a second job to pay the tax bills so I can kick back and relax.
Thank you.
You baby boomers are getting a free ride from us.
But since she'll probably have a kid in high school by that time, and she's worried about bills of her own and the mortgage and, you know, Orion and everything else working to make ends meet, I'm not sure that's all that fair to young people.
Amen.
So this is why what Krauthammer says is correct, and why John Stewart says, now, if only Republicans had said this. Play that clip again, if you could. This is after Krauthammer.
If it was ever presented in that fashion, the way that you just presented it, I think the conversation we would be having in this country is very different.
So full of it. Paul Ryan did exactly that, and all he got was demonized, and one of the people demonizing him was John Stewart. Here's the thing. John Stewart just didn't want to spar with Charles Krauthammer and have his hat handed to him on his own show.
Yeah, I mean, how can you argue,
what's going on here?
Oh, you know, the financial collapse of our country won't happen like it did in European countries.
How can it not?
Does anyone not remember Greece in the last year or less?
Mathematics doesn't vary from one country to the other. I mean, the rules of math are fairly consistent from one country to the other. Doesn't matter what kind of social system you have. Doesn't matter what kind of currency you have. Doesn't matter what kind of banking system you have. Math is math. So, yeah, and by the way, that's what's going to undo Obamacare. You know, we're talking about people signing up in the exchanges and people's premiums going up and people's copays and deductibles, and they're finding out and the government's trying to conceal the true size. And all that is true. But the other side of the ledger, for those of us who have employer-provided health care, we think that we're going to skate. We think we're free. Oh, thank goodness I don't have to deal with that reality. Oh, yes, you will. And here is why. An insurance company, all insurance companies, when Obamacare goes, you know, becomes fully operational, they have to sell an insurance policy to anyone who wants one. And it doesn't matter if there's pre-existing conditions or not. So when the company that provides your employer-provided health care is forced to sell an insurance policy to someone who has a pre-existing medical condition and is therefore going to be a net taker rather than a net provider in terms of money for the insurance risk pool, that puts financial stress and strain on your employer-provided health care plan. And you're thinking, well, John, you know, they have to sell the insurance policy to someone with pre-existing conditions, but they'll simply have to pay more. No, they won't. The Affordable Care Act makes it impossible for a private insurance company to charge someone more money because of a pre-existing condition. So if you have 1,000 people in an insurance risk pool, and another 100 people, all of whom have pre-existing medical conditions, sign up for insurance. That means that there's going to be less money in the risk pool because more people will be drawing out of it to pay medical claims. So the insurance company is going to be charging you or your employer provide your employer more money for your insurance policy. I mean, that's how Obamacare works. Every one of us has to subsidize to a greater extent people who, whether it's their fault or not, have pre-existing medical conditions. So, you know, just another example of how whether or not you're on these exchanges or you think you're immune because you have employer-provided health care, no. You are going to find, your employer is going to find, that it's going to cost a lot more. So you might not be getting that raise that you thought was coming due. Anyway, it is coming up here on 10 Minutes to 8. You got the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI.
Free speech spoken here. This is Talk Radio 570 KVI.
Back to the phones we go. Jason, Seattle, what do you say?
Hey, John. I have mixed feelings on Social Security. 10 years ago when I was younger, I would have said, you know, I don't expect anything. Increase the age as high as you need to. But now that I've been paying into the system for 10 years, and now that we, a lot of us have baby boomer parents who are retiring, we start to see that, you know, they get the statements. We see that there's, you know, there's basically a guaranteed amount that they give you, that you have an age that you expected. I don't think it's right to tell people you've been paying into a system for how many years and then changing the terms of that later on. So that's what I really believe these days. And even
okay,
if
stop,
that means
stop
our
there,
generation.
Because, stop there, because what we would be talking about doing is changing the rules for future recipients. Like guys like me would have to work longer.
Yeah. It's fine to a certain extent. I mean, yeah, if you change the expectations for people that are coming new in the system, maybe they're okay with it. But I am almost willing to say it's okay. I'm younger, and yes, we're basically, you know, providing a quality of life to a lot of boomers, right, who are going to increase in age, living longer. It's fine. It's a compromise, I think, that we just have to be willing to take as responsibility. But, you know, the thing that I think that separates us from Europe is the fact that they're not producing populations in replacement numbers, right? Because
right.
We have all this immigration, I don't know if it's a good thing or a
Jason,
bad thing.
We got to let it sit there. I understand the point you're making, though.